Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We will have Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert joining the show at 7:30. Our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30, so looking forward to that coming up a little bit later in the show. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Preds back in action tonight. They'll take on the Minnesota Wild at home at Bridgestone Arena, and then the season finale tomorrow, Joe, as they host the Colorado Avalanche. So two more games in the regular season. You know, the Predators talked yesterday. Ryan McDonough was discussing, you know, basically just how tough it is these last two games. He didn't make any bones about it. Like, yeah, it's pretty tough to get motivated, but they basically said UC Saros has played so well all season long that they owe it to him to play these last two out here. So we'll see how the Predators come out tonight against Minnesota and tomorrow against Colorado. But now the looking ahead to what's next for the Predators has begun with the fan base. And we know that there will be no playoffs. I'm sure that we'll hear from the Predators brass at some point next week in their, you know, before the off-season kind of media dress, end-of-season press conferences that will take place, I'm sure, at some point next week. So what does it all mean for John Hines? That's the immediate question. We know Barry Trotz is coming in. And we know we've talked about the roster moves that have been made and the options that the Predators have this summer, but who's going to be coaching them? Who will be the coach for the Predators as they move ahead? Will John Hines get another year? Will the Predators decide to move on from John Hines and Barry Trotz go hire his own coach? That's kind of the immediate question now with the Nashville Predators, and there are a variety of different opinions on it. We've heard from a lot of you on the text line. We'll continue to do that today. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. But, Joe, now that we know that there will be no playoffs, there's not going to be a postseason run for this young group, what do you think this all means for John Hines as we sit here two games away from the end of the regular season?
First of all, real fast, I do have some information on that player exits interview Sunday. Poyle and Trotz Monday at 10 a.m., and not sure yet on Hines. So there you go. So it's coming right up after this. Also, before we get to Hines, I did have one thought, and I don't know the answer. When's the last time the Preds played a regular season game that meant nothing? Like, in other words, even if they were in the playoffs, maybe it still could have meant something to their placement or something. Like, would it
probably
have been the President's Trophy year?
When they'd wrapped it up.
President's Trophy year when they'd wrapped it up. So it's been, and obviously a very different kind of meaning nothing, right? But so it's been a long time. And, yeah, it's a big question. I think every day on the text line someone asks that, even if we could be talking about, Australian rules football and someone – throws out the question of, you know, we don't talk about that enough, by the way.
Need to talk about it more.
Yeah, we do. But someone throws out that question about John Hines. Everybody wants to know. I don't agree with the idea of Carl Taylor just coming in and taking his job. I know some people have thrown that out there. I think Carl Taylor has done a lot to earn himself an opportunity to be an NHL head coach. I don't think that's the move. I think the move is, it's if you have your guy in mind and you being Barry Trotz, well, okay, there you go. And if you don't and you have an open mind and you've just been trying to evaluate Hines and figure out if he should keep the job, if he should coach out the last year of his contract, well, then you're probably impressed right now, right? I mean, I would have to think that you would have a better view of him than you did when you started to evaluate him based on how the team has played. I mean, is there not any correlation between this team hanging into this race with all these guys hurt and a bunch of young guys out there and Hines' job performance?
Well, I think there is. I think to me, a lot of this comes down to a question that we don't know the answer to right now, and that is, what will the approach be for Barry Trotz in terms of the roster this offseason, right? So if your approach is, we've got cap space, we've created a lot of assets for ourselves based on the trades that we've made, and we can be aggressive and go put ourselves in position to make some trades and or sign free agents, maybe a combination of the two, and you feel like you could get right back to being a team that can compete next year, then do you feel like John Hines is the coach to lead you that way? Because to me, that's very different than coming back with, this is going to be a longer process, kind of a slow burn, as you will, and the young guys are taking over next year. Like, that's two different ways of operating. So which way is Barry Trotz leaning? Like, obviously, like, you can have a plan to go out and make trades and to sign free agents. You still have to make those things happen. Maybe his plan is simply, you know, we'll take a look around. If something presents itself, then we'll act. But the plan is to have these young guys come up and just see what we got. And honestly, that may be the way that I'm leaning in terms of what I'd like to see them do. And if that's the case, does the way that they played down the stretch convince you, if you're Barry Trotz, that that John Hines deserves the final year of his deal? I mean, I look at the way they played down the stretch a couple different ways. It's incredibly impressive that they hung in there and they were in the playoff race way longer than anybody thought they would be after the deadline, especially when the injuries started to kick in. All that's really impressive. We talked about it yesterday, though. They couldn't score. They were the worst team in the league scoring goals coming down the stretch. And I understand why. Like, when you have those amount of injuries, you're not going to be as prolific offensively. So I get that. But, you know, UC Soros covers up a lot of things. I mean, it is what it is. He's on your team. He's on your roster. So you got to plan for that moving forward. And that's great to have. But what does that mean in terms of how you're evaluating the coach? That's the answer that I don't know if you're Barry Trotz. But I think a lot of it depends on, in the back of Barry Trotz's mind, which way is he planning on going coming up this summer? I think it's a big part of it.
Yeah, that's a very good point, for sure. And you know, look, there are people. April jumps all over this. April in Portland.
Oh yeah,
I'm not a flip flopper. Fire Hines. I just look. Everybody's entitled their opinion, and that's fine. I haven't heard a great explanation from anyone who is convinced that he's a terrible coach, other than, like, you just think that. Now, you can look at pros and cons, and certainly I think one of the big cons would be just probably how things went with Elie Tolvin, and not the fact that he was put on waivers and they lost him, but just the fact that, he never really developed here. Now, you know, let's see. What did he end up? Where is he now with the? You know, I mean, he had 27. He's sitting there at 27 points in 47 games with Seattle. So not exactly lighting the world of fire. Now 16 goals. You know,
it's good.
I mean, so he's going to end up. He may end up between the two places. May end up with a 20 goal season, but probably not. He's sitting there at 18 in 60 games. But, I mean, like that, I mean, Tolvin in particular is if anybody who's against Hines is, he doesn't develop young players. But there are other young players who I feel like have gotten a lot better, and he's been the coach. Do they count for him or not? I think things should count for and against a coach when they are good or bad.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our buddy Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie. Hey, I've ripped on Hines so hard. Like, unfairly. Like, I really have no reason to hate his guts, but pretty much, because I was a big Lobby fan, and pretty much for, like, the last year, when I see him on the bench, I'm like, ugh. Like, I think there's something about his face. Like, he's not expressive enough for me, so it looks like he didn't care. And so I want my coach, I guess, to be a cartoon character. I want to know what they're thinking, but this guy, he didn't really give you much. But at the same time, I've completely changed my opinion about him. Watching these young players play so well, I know they're not scoring goals like crazy. You got to learn how to do that. But at the same time, they were competitive. Every night they were competitive. Even the game that we got roasted by the Kraken a couple weeks ago, I got to go to, lost by 7 goals. But, you know, for the most part of that game, it was competitive. And just seeing the – I don't know. I'm more mad, instead of any of the players that were out there actually hustling, I'm more mad at somebody like Forsberg. And I know y'all probably don't like that, but, like, this wasn't your contract year and you couldn't figure a way back on the ice. But you found a way. You know, it just really ticks me off, man. Because I feel like we were like one good player away from actually getting to the postseason, which is crazy impressive by the young guys. So I'm not mad at the coach. I say keep the coach, and I'm more sick with Forsberg.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, we'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you think the future looks like for John Hines? Should he keep his job heading into next season, the final year of his contract with the Predators? 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 1025-1063 The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders as they broadcast live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of 29 Degree Beer, on Thursday, April the 27th. Also, make sure you tune in for some Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, discussing the Preds. We'll have Dan Lambert, Preds assistant coach, coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:30. Right now, what about John Hines? What does his future look like with the Predators? And what has the evaluation of Barry Trotz been of John Hines to this point? Predators, as we know, not making the playoffs. They're back in action tonight, taking on the Minnesota Wild. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Nate on the text line says, I don't think Hines is a terrible coach, but at the same time, I give Carl Taylor the majority of the credit for the success of the young players. Noah from Springfield says, how much of the Preds' success is Hines coaching versus Saros' goaltending? That's from Noah from Springfield on the text line.
Yeah, so, and I've heard that a lot. And that's fair, but I also say this. He's had Saros, and he's also had a lot of issues with the roster in other areas, right? So, has he overcome other limitations? I mean, this is obviously this year. They did not make the playoffs. I might argue that this year getting as close as they did might be as impressive as anything. Obviously, 2 years ago, they required a crazy run to get in. So, yes, you're right. Saros erases a lot of ills, right? And you could say coaching ills, but also you could say the roster is weak otherwise. I mean, I said this yesterday. I think that the overall performance of Hines is right in line with what he's had overall, and that includes Saros. I mean, they've had, obviously, a lot of inconsistency with a lot of different players. Now, you can always look at that, too. How much is that on him? Do you give him? I do give him some credit. I gave him a lot of credit at the time for, obviously, like it was like a whole summer of, I don't know, like he and Johansson and Duchesne were like camping together and meditating. I don't know what the heck they did, but there was a lot of effort put into reaching them. And then they both had, I mean, Duchesne had a career year last year. Johansson had a huge bounce back year. Is that him? Is that because they both got left exposed and they were ticked off about it and they were sick of hearing about everything? I'm sure there's a little bit of truth in all that. I give him some credit for that.
I do too. Look, this year is the interesting one to me because I thought heading into the season this was the best team that he's had on paper, right? I mean, you saw what we had a year ago in terms of the discussion that we were talking about of Forsberg and Duchesne and Johansson and all those guys. Now, having said that, we expected that those guys would take a step back, right? Like, would Duchesne really score 40 again? Probably not. Would Yossi put up 96 points again? Probably not. So we knew that heading into it. But they got McDonough. They got Niederreiter. Like, they should have been a playoff team. And they weren't. And, you know, for the first time, I thought that coaching was part of that. I was like, you got to get these guys to be able to play at a higher level that they played at the first part of this season. And, look, I'll be honest with you. When they decided to sell and they announced that Poyle was stepping aside at the end of the season and that Barry Trotz was coming in, I thought that was it. Like, I thought that was it for John Hines. Like, you're bringing a new general manager in. That's probably going to be it. And then we saw the last few weeks, and the young guys come up. They hang in there longer than anybody thought they would. They made it fun down the stretch. And I think the viewpoint on Hines for some people has changed, maybe even some people in the organization. So I don't know what they're going to do. I wouldn't be surprised if he was gone at the end of next week. I also would not be surprised at this point if they kept him and that he was coaching out the last year of his contract heading into next year. Like, if I had to pick one right now, that's probably where I'm leaning, is that he will be back and he will coach the last year of his contract.
Yeah. Absent an obvious name for Trotz to bring in to be, quote-unquote, his coach, I would lean that way too. Josh and Kyle, very different thoughts. Josh, this is interesting. I feel like consistency in coaching is so much more important than we all think sometimes. I'm a Braves fan, pretty much my whole life, three managers, successful. These young guys would benefit from Hines sticking around. I think Mariota would have had a much more successful career had he had the same coordinator or coach for more than a year at a time early in his career. And then Kyle says, I would think the success of AHL be more Carl Taylor, not to mention Tolvanen, the constant blending of lines and ability to motivate veteran players. And again, I just gave you an example of, I think, counters that. That's me. And then back to Kyle, quote, Hines needs to go. We need a fresh start.
Yeah. I mean, the veteran players part of this is interesting because
it's been up and down.
It's been up and down. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, John Glennon's comments of some things that Hines has said in terms of this young group and not having to really motivate them, and they show up hungry, all those things. Well, who is he talking about? I don't know, like Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene, or like, is there anybody specific
probably
that he's referring to? Like, who are you referring to there? I mean, it's pretty clear that he liked the approach, at least, of these young guys. And look, it's a different thing when you've got guys that are established in the league and they're making a lot of money, and you contrast that with young guys coming in that are trying to prove themselves. It's just a different mindset. Now, that doesn't always mean that it's a worse mindset. I'm just saying it's different when you have a veteran-laden team and a younger team. So I don't know what that means moving forward. I just, from Barry Trotz's point of view, he is a coach. He's one of the top coaches in the history of the league by wins. He's going to be a Hall of Fame head coach one day. So he's gotten a firsthand look now of how John Hines operates, what he does, the meetings, the plan, all those things that Barry Trotz would know better than anybody else of what's going on in there. He has a firsthand look at it, and I am leaning towards John Hines probably coming back next year. I'm not going to be totally surprised if he doesn't, because anytime you change the GM, I'm never surprised if a coaching change follows that. It's just the way pro sports can work. But if I had to pick right now, I think that he's going to be back next year.
Yeah. I'm with you. That'd be my guess. I think that's the – I don't know what the exact betting odds would be, but I think they should favor Hines being back. April, quote, it was the best team he's had. They were upgraded from the previous year. He couldn't win with what he had, and he won with Carl Taylor's players. Fire Hines. April wants Hines gone.
Well, at least she's consistent.
Well, yeah. Look, she's not alone. I mean, there's a lot of people, even when we talk about young players, they're like, well, it's Carl Taylor. And I get, look, Carl Taylor, I agree, like, he has been a part of their development this year. I mean, so Tomasino went down. Evangelista went down. They all played well. Now, I also think a lot of those guys, like Evangelista, got better as he was up here. Like, he continued to get better and better.
I mean, how come, like, I agree. Like, Carl Taylor's going to do a good job, and I think he's put himself in position to get a shot in the NHL. But, like, is this all over the league? Like, if there's good young players on a team, it's like, well, but look at the AHL coach, though. You know, I mean, obviously, that's an important part of the player's development. But I feel like it's exaggerated here because some people just don't like Hines.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the backup quarterback. You know,
right?
It's always the better. And I'm not saying, look, I've talked to Carl Taylor a little bit. I've been around Carl Taylor. I like Carl Taylor. I think he's a good coach, and I think at some point he's probably going to be an NHL head coach. Is that going to be now? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe some team comes calling this offseason. Heck, maybe the Predators really like him and they come calling this offseason. I have no idea. But I do think sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves with the AHL coach part of this. Remember, John Hines used to be that guy.
That's right.
He used to be the AHL head coach. And then
were people screaming for John Hines? Maybe they were. Maybe they were. Maybe they got their way.
I don't know. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert. We'll get into the team and the game tonight as they take on the Minnesota Wild. That's coming up next.
We can ask him this question.
Yeah, we'll ask him all those things. Nashville's best deal of the week is Joyland in East Nashville. Get half off a $30 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals and enjoy the best burger in town. Find some joy today and eat Joyland for half off with Nashville's best deal of the week at thegamenashville.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena taking on the Minnesota Wild. And to help us talk about that, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert. Dan, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you doing?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Dan, obviously a tough night on Tuesday night with Winnipeg winning and clinching the final spot in the West. I know Ryan McDonagh and Colton Sissons and some other guys kind of addressed that yesterday and what's going through their minds right now. But from your vantage point, well, what was the mood like yesterday around the room, and what's the approach tonight as you guys take on Minnesota?
Well, I think everybody, you know, is disappointed. We certainly had a good push, you know, with a very inexperienced team, and I thought that they handled it extremely well. I mean, the mood is, you know, we know we have only two games left, and that certainly wasn't the plan. But in saying that, we want to try to end the season on a very positive note here.
Yeah, so, and obviously, I mean, you guys have done so much work here, Dan, down the stretch to stay in this thing. Things like that. So, you know, it's an obvious disappointment, but what were the conversations like? Have you guys been able to, I guess, sort of decompress a little bit and sort of express appreciation, or is that something that you sort of wait until it's all over to do?
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, we still have two games left, so no, it's certainly not anything we've done so far. I don't think it's time to tap each other on the back yet. I mean, you know, we've got two games to play, and we want to put on a good show for our fans. They certainly have deserved that. And you know, and our young guys, a lot of them are still trying to, you know, impress. They're trying to impress management. They want to, you know, make sure that they have a good showing here in the last couple of games to leave a good impression on the coaching staff and the management.
Dan, UC Saros, I mean, we know the player that he is and that he has been for you guys for a long time now, and he's done it yet again this year, put himself in the Vezina Trophy conversation. How do you put in the words, number one, I guess the way that he played down the stretch here, but number two, what he's meant to you guys since you've been here as a staff here in Nashville?
Well, you know, he had big shoes to fill in Pekka Rinne. I mean, obviously there's a statue of the guy that he replaced, and he's done that extremely well. I mean, we know the value of Juice and how important he is to this organization, very much like Pekka was. And, you know, I think you don't win in this league unless you have great goaltending. We obviously have exceptional goaltending, and he proves it night in and night out. You know, people say small goalies can't play. Well, he's obviously proving everybody wrong when it comes to that. And he's such an amazing pro. He just shows up every single day, and he's our hardest working guy. And, you know, it's certainly he's a player that other professionals can learn from.
Yeah, and obviously you're talking about a guy too, Dan, who to me should be, I think, a Vezina finalist. I'm sure you guys feel strongly about that as well. Have you even seen him take it up a notch this year? Maybe not just play, but even in terms of presence in the room and things like that?
Well, you know, when you look at his body of work over the last few years, I mean, really last year he is the season he became for the first time really a number one, and he did that amazingly. He certainly should be in the Vezina candidate. he should have been last year. He certainly needs to be this year. Whether, you know, we're not the ones that control that. But, and then as far as his leadership role, absolutely. He's taken strides. I think he took strides from last year to this year as far as just even handling the workload and how he, works through practice. And I think he's learning to manage his body a little bit better because before he was just going 100 miles an hour every single practice, every single shot, every drill. I think he's learning to manage that a little bit better. And he's done an amazing body of work here over the last two seasons. There's no doubt that he's up there when you talk about the best goalies in the National Hockey League or in the world, for that matter.
Fred assistant coach Dan Lambert with us here on Robbie and Rexrow. Dan, what have you learned about the younger players in your group playing in some high-stakes games coming down the stretch? I know the high-stakes games didn't always go your way, but some of them did, a lot of them did, and the young players were a driving force behind that. What have you learned about your young group of guys as you've watched them play the last few weeks?
You know, the one thing that I think is evident is the fact that they're very resilient. I mean, you know, we had our nights. You know, you think about the New York Rangers game where we get blown out, and even in Dallas, you know, we had a rough night. But in saying that, they always came back and always had an answer. And I think that's credit to them. Obviously, John Hines did a great job of coming up with solutions to why, you know, we struggled in those nights. And next thing you know, the following night, the corrections were made and the guys, really responded well to that. They competed every single night. It was never from a lack of effort. The one thing that maybe people don't recognize is we probably had the toughest schedule down the stretcher. I think I might be off by a game or so, but I think it was 28 games we played in 52 days and a really, really minimal practice time. And these guys handled that extremely well. That's not an easy thing to do, especially when, A, it's your first year in the league, your first games in the league, and then to have to deal with that schedule with the travel and everything else. I thought they were able to manage that, extremely well.
Specifically among that group, Dan, what do you think the future holds for Luke Evangelista?
Well, I mean, you know, there is no doubt that Luke is very gifted offensively. It seems like the puck at times just follows him. He's got great vision, great passing ability. He's got some big strides to make in the sense that, you know, he needs to get stronger, faster, just like every young player that's, 21 years old. Or 20 years old. He's the same in that department. But there's no doubt that the future is very bright for him. We love his attitude. We love his work ethic. It just seems like there's no moment that's too big for him. If he has a bit of a slow night or an off night, he's always responded with a great night after that. So we've been very pleasantly surprised and pleased with how he's played, and I think the future as a Pred for Luke Evangelista is very bright.
Well, Dan, we really appreciate your time for being with us this morning. Good luck tonight against Minnesota, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. And, you know, that's what you got to identify if you're Barry Trotz, if you're John Hines, if you're the Predators moving forward, who are the guys that are kind of that next wave to build around, right? Regardless of what your approach is, like you know that Saros is coming back, you know that Roman Josi is coming back, you know Forsberg's under contract. We'll see about Duchesne and Johansson and decisions that they make there. I would assume at least one of them are going to be back next year, probably both. But I do think you can have some of those guys coming back and also try to identify, like, who is that next core? Like, is that, you know, I think Evangelista is going to be part of it. You know, is Tomasino going to be part of it? Parsonen? Obviously, Cody Glass played a big role this year. Like, what's the next step for those guys, and how good do you think they can be? And maybe it doesn't happen immediately next year. I heard you guys on Jared versus Joe yesterday talking about, like, wins fair expectations for this team to make the playoffs.
Jared's got to win the cup next year.
Yeah, he does have the back of the playoffs next year for sure. I mean, look, if they bring back the young guys, and that's basically all they do this summer is we're going young and we're seeing what you got, and I think it could be an interesting year next year in terms of, I think it'll be a struggle to make the playoffs. You have Soros, so you're going to give yourself a shot, but I think it could be a struggle to make the playoffs if that's the way you go. But I also think that may be the smartest way for them to go, so they can identify what they got, who they got, and who's worth building around as they move forward here.
And you didn't even mention Tommy Novak.
I didn't.
Disrespect, I mean, he's gonna be for there. Tommy Novak. Well, Jared's point is, well, okay, so look at what they've done. So now add Forsberg, add Yossi, you know, add Duchesne healthy, and what does that mean? I mean, and I get it.
I mean, again, but they're dead last in the league in scoring goals coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
So,
but they do have Soros. That's the thing. I mean, I will agree with the idea that if you have UC Soros as your goalie, you probably shouldn't be counted out of anything.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So from that perspective, it could be interesting.
It could be. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that next. Speaking of the Preds, hang out tonight before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I scrubbed all the photos of Joe Rex Road off my social media years ago, and he still hasn't noticed.
Oh, boy. I mean, your social media got a lot less sexy.
You know, I will, and I will put all your photos back up on my social media.
Just make sure you have the one of me quarterbacking with a cigarette in the mouth, and you know, that's really the only one you need, man.
One of the all time greats. One of my favorite, like, first Don's like, who's this like 42-year-old guy who you went to college with?
Oh, one of the best, Charles Robinson. We'll have him coming up at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that conversation with him. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day.
I think Charles played center while I was winging like lasers all over the field at quarterback. I think Charles was if you're the center in like, you know, flag football, I mean, basically like you snap the ball back to the quarterback. So that's all I'm going to say, Charles. Jeez. Love you, Charles. Okay, so first of all, this may be a Rex Rant re-rant, but I don't know. Have I ranted about leftovers before?
I don't think so.
No? Okay, good. Do you guys like leftovers?
Not a huge leftover guy, to be honest with
you. It depends on the food.
It does depend on what it is, but in general, not a huge leftover guy.
I mean, so this is generational. It's got to be generational. And here's a great example of why my generation's better than your generation.
Okay. All right.
Because leftovers, to me, are one of the great things in life. Yes, I agree. There are differences. Now, I love, like, cold pizza, okay? But really, I'm trying to think of something that I don't love the next day. But I think that casseroles, in general, are better second day. And I make a lot of casseroles. Stews.
Chilies.
So tell me, okay, before I get into this, tell me what leftovers are bad.
I can't do, like, if I take home some Mexican food or something, I can't do it.
Really?
The next day. I don't know if it's a mental block, but, like, it needs to be hot. I, for some reason, I just can't do it the next day.
Okay. You can heat it up.
I know. It's just not the same.
Yeah. So the only food that I would say you must eat it today, because like there's no point in keeping tomorrow, is sushi. I mean, sushi is, and I love sushi, but like eat the sushi.
I don't eat a whole lot of it anyway. So
like if we go to like a Japanese steakhouse, sometimes you'll get sushi and you'll get like a rice and steak or rice and salmon or whatever. I'm always like, eat the sushi. The other stuff's good the next day. The sushi's not. Other than that, I'm a huge believer in leftovers. So this week, I made chicken enchiladas. Okay.
Okay.
So salsa verde chicken enchiladas. Pretty simple. Basically, you got the salsa on the bottom of the pan. I made two pans of it. You roll up the corn tortillas with the chicken. You put a little bit of salsa in there. You got some crema, Mexican crema on top. You got some crumbly Mexican cheese. That's it. It was very good, I think. And yet there's an entire tray of it still in my fridge today. I'm going to crush it. But my kids will not touch leftovers. I mean, they seriously feel they are like averse to leftovers. And I haven't really ranted about the kids lately, so I think this is...
Keep it going.
I think anything fair with dressing or sauce on it, it can be a game changer. Enchiladas, though, I've had those left over. Or you make them on a Sunday, you eat off the week. Phenomenal.
Right. Okay. Well, good.
And then you don't have to cook during the week. That's the whole point, because the week's busy.
Yeah. But I guess if like someone cooks for you all the time, then you're like, no, make me a new meal today, chef. Chef Joe.
Yeah. I pull that card sometimes.
I mean, I am... I'm bougie. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I like my food fresh. That's what I do.
So if there's some things that you don't like here and there, okay, I'll have that conversation. If you're basically like automatically turned off to the leftover, whatever it might be, we got a problem. So we got a problem. And honestly, the only reason the enchiladas aren't gone already, because again, they're 2 days old. No, wait. Today's Thursday. I think I made them. Did I make them Monday?
Now we're getting close where you better get in there.
Yeah. No, they're gone today. But, I mean, basically, last night I played basketball, dusted a 15-year-old, and was in such pain that I showered and went to bed without dinner, which is something I should do more often. But if not for that, they'd be gone.
Yeah.
But no one touched them. I don't even know what people had for dinner. Like, I have no idea. Did you guys eat dinner? I don't know.
Maybe nothing.
Ate cereal? Ate ice cream? You got them. I don't know how it got to this point. But, like, you cannot be automatically turned off the idea of leftovers as a kid. You can't be. When my mom would make stuff growing up and there was stuff left over, I mean, think about, like, Thanksgiving. I mean, right now we have
fire.
Easter ham, which I'm using for sandwiches. Yeah, exactly. And I seriously think my kids don't like anything leftover. It's ridiculous.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I really think in a typical year, there are really only two things that I go to left over, and that is the remnants of Thanksgiving food, which I will eat on for approximately a week after that, and chili. I'll eat chili. It doesn't matter if chili's been in the refrigerator for 4 days. I'll eat it. Doesn't matter.
So what about like a lasagna?
Eh.
Oh, man. Lasagna is better later. Lasagna is. The sauce gets more like baked or like embedded in the –
I can't even say that I've ever even done lasagna leftover.
Do you have an air fryer?
I do.
Okay, because the air fryer is also a game changer, I think, for leftovers. Right? Yeah, because the microwave, I understand, some stuff, the microwave makes it mushy or whatever. Yeah. Air fryer, now, that's a little bit of a game
changer. Throw pizza in there? Yeah. Real quick, crisp it up.
Right. Now, I like cold pizza anyway, but.
I do not.
Yeah. I like cold chicken.
Rebecca. On the text line, says, Joe, I'm in your generation and loathe leftovers. Only exception is pizza. It's from Rebecca on the text line. Although you have a lot of support on the text line for leftovers as well.
I hope so. I mean, again, some of this is obviously because I like to cook. So I cook a lot. So it's kind of offensive to me if it's not finished and then it's like no one will touch it after that. It kind of pisses me off.
Maybe this is a sign.
That my cooking sucks?
Maybe.
Well. Wow.
I've never had it, so.
We went straight there.
I'll have to make something for you guys.
Robert in Nashville says, forget leftovers. If whatever we're eating is any good, I'll eat it when it's served the first time. It's from Robert in Nashville.
Well, right. Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes I try to double up. I'm looking at a recipe, I always just auto double it up. You know, maybe that's my mistake. Maybe the supply is too high, so the demand's low. Bring the supply down a little bit.
Yeah. Got a text that says, most things work the next day. I don't know what they're trying to say here about a salad. But it says, also, this is the content we need on Nashville's Best Sports Talk. I agree. That's what we're here for.
Well, I'm heartened that most of the people on the text line seem to be pro leftovers. Yeah. First of all, I just think you're missing out if you're anti. And second of all, yeah, I'm mad at my kids.
Maddie on the text line says, Robbie, you mentioned leftover Mexican food. If you have leftover fajitas, fry them up with some eggs the next couple of mornings and wrap them in a tortilla.
Oh, that's
holy
a great
smokes.
Call.
This is from Maddie on the text line.
That's yes. a great call. There's a lot of stuff like that.
Give it
that
a shot.
You just basically throw an egg in it. Yeah.
I'm down with eggs. I can do that.
Yeah.
You may have hit on something.
Not really there. Leftover
I
eggs.
I think what we really uncovered here is that I am maybe a little bit too bougie and need to be broadening my horizons a little bit.
Little bit. It's funny you say that because Mike Wilson and Grant Ramey, both friends of the show, call me Bougie Joe.
Really?
Yes. But that's only because on road trips, like, you know, because I basically lived half my life in Marriott's, I always have, like, you know, like upgraded rooms and all that stuff. Yeah, exactly. So like, Bougie Joe. They just call me Bouge. But yeah, you are the like actual Bouge.
Yeah, that's me. Chase McCabe says, looks like we have our an hour next summer, special cooking with Rex Road. How about that?
I am actually
need to get you in here and cook something up.
I'm gonna make something.
It's not dangerous
enough. I'm gonna bring it in someday and you can test my cooking. The only thing that I guarantee I'm good at is grilled cheese. I mean, my family begs for the grilled cheese, okay? And I know that's a really
I do love a mean grilled cheese.
Yeah. It's very simple. Tons of butter. Very light cooking.
Hey,
two types of cheese.
You ever had grilled cheese with bacon on it?
Oh, hell yeah.
That stuff's awesome. I can do that all day.
Yeah, I like to throw in a little random surprise meats sometimes with the grilled cheeses.
615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program.
Kids texting me right now.
Oh boy. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on Joe's cooking and all things NFL as well. Looking forward to that coming up next. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.